Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra. And as we wait for the impending snowstorm tomorrow, we've got all kinds of music and sounds and stories for you today on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear from Melanie Trimble from the New York Civil Liberties Union about their legislative agenda in Albany this year. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
News. This is the network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network,
this is the news.
This is the network, runs through,
this is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
There aren't too many times the entire Hudson Valley delegation in the House of Representatives votes the same way, but they did March 9th on the Suspending Energy Imports from Russia Act. Republican Elise Stefanik and Democrats Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney all voted for the measure, which passed 414-17. The bill to cut off American oil funds from Russia after their invasion of Ukraine was opposed by two far-left Democrats, Ilhan Omar and Cori Bush, and 15 far-right Republicans, such as Marjorie Taylor Greene, Madison Cawthorn, and Paul Gosar.
It Hudson News reports that Jamie Chaney, a candidate for state senate in the newly created District 43, has been endorsed unanimously by the Democratic committees in Columbia, Dutchess, and Rensselaer counties. Chaney will challenge Republican incumbent Sue Serrano. Chaney and her husband run Falcons Fields, a 70-head Wagyu and Angus beef farm in Dutchess County. Chaney also founded a recruiting firm focused on creating flexible roles for working parents. Chaney serves on the Leadership Council of the National Small Business Association and is active in developing youth agriculture in New York State. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Andrea Mako reports at Porcupine Soup that after the town board removed the chair of the Durham Historic Preservation Commission, three members of the group have resigned. Alan Freed, Rosemary O'Brien, and Ken Mabey resigned March 4th. That came after the town board did not reappoint Patrick Ciccone, the chair of the Town of Durham Historic Preservation Committee, after he wrote an affidavit against the town board in a lawsuit about a proposed housing development in the town. The three members of the commission wrote in their resignation letter, and I quote, "We believe contempt for the commission was fully exposed when its chairperson, a professional historic preservationist with 7 years on the commission, was dismissed without warning or explanation of any kind and without even some minimal communication with the five remaining members of the commission, either before or since the dismissal took place," end quote. At the March 1st town board meeting, Durham Town Supervisor Sean Marriott said, and I quote, "It is a personal issue. Yes, I can confirm Patrick was not reappointed, but we do not discuss personal matters. There are many things I would love to say, but cannot, so we will leave it at that," end quote. Many Durham residents have spoken out against the Bosque subdivision, a proposal to put 12 homes on 95 acres in Cornwallville. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Melanie Lakasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the Greenville Board of Education is looking to propose to district voters a nearly $33.7 million budget for the 2022-23 school year. School officials presented the program at the February 28th board meeting. The proposal represents a 2.43% increase of the district's current budget of $32.89 million and would carry a 2.35% tax levy increase. Superintendent Tammy Sutherland said there is still some financial details coming in that could change the bottom line. She said several staff members have announced their impending retirement, which would lead to cost savings in the budget. Quote, "At this point, we have seven individuals retiring, and that break is just over $292,000, so that's a savings to the budget," unquote, Sutherland said. Elementary school enrollment is expected to remain steady at 474 students this year and 476 next year. The student population is expected to drop slightly in the middle school from 256 to 233. But those figures will be offset by a slight rise in number of high school students from 355 to 369. Overall, the student population is declining slightly from 1,085 this year to 1,078 next year. During the 2022-23 school year, 88 students are expected to be homeschooled compared to 53 in 2019-20 before COVID. Budgets for technology purchases and contracts and for BOCES service requests for specialized programming like Tech Valley, New Visions, and Career Tech will increase, while the spending plan for pupil personnel services and district-wide equipment purchases will decrease. The funding for the Athletics and Physical Education Department will remain steady. The Board of Education is expected to vote on the tentative budget at its April 11th meeting. A public hearing on the spending plan will be conducted May 3rd. The annual budget vote and Board of Education election will be held from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. May 17th in the Scott M. Ellis Elementary School cafeteria. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Ted Rimsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that John Gallagher, Kimberly Thompson, and Susan Timpson are competing for two seats on the Tannersville Village Board in the March 15th election. Timpson is a Democrat who works for New York State and previously served as a Tannersville Village trustee. Timpson said, and I quote, "I want to make sure that all voices are heard and that important issues are advanced. I think that my past elected experience in the village of Tannersville and my professional experience will allow me to be an effective trustee and to meet the needs of our residents," end quote. Thompson is a Republican who is a counselor at a substance use disorder facility in Kingston and operates the Tannersville Laundromat. Thompson said, and I quote, "I want to ensure the village water department has what it needs to deliver safe and abundant water. I want to ensure that the village highway department has what it needs in order to keep pedestrian and vehicle traffic safely moving throughout the village. As our village grows, the infrastructure needs to grow and improve as well," end quote. Gallagher is a Democrat and a partner at a public affairs firm in New York City. Gallagher said, and I quote, "I think figuring out how we accommodate the tremendous amount of growth in the village, there's some housing affordability issues for local people. I think figuring out how we can create more workforce housing and protect workforce housing for local people is key," end quote. Voting takes place 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. on March 15th. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Berkshire Eagle is reporting that longtime Pittsfield, Massachusetts-based trial attorney Timothy J. Shugrue March 9th announced that he is a candidate for the Berkshire District Attorney. He made the announcement in a Facebook post with a photo of himself and his wife at the door of the Registrar of Voters in Pittsfield City Hall. Quote, "I entered this race to make Berkshire County a safe place for all residents of our county," unquote, he wrote. Quote, "I'm committed to providing experience, integrity, and justice for all," unquote. Shugrue is a former assistant district attorney in Springfield, Massachusetts, and he touted his 36 years of experience as a trial lawyer, including 28 years in private practice. Shugrue said he is also the founder of the Kids Place, which provides services for children who are victims of domestic violence. Incumbent Berkshire District Attorney Andrea Harrington has not formally announced her candidacy, but has signaled her intention to run again. Harrington gained notoriety last summer when she took the unusual step of calling the judge who regularly presides over her district court cases a, quote, "significant threat to public safety," unquote, and asked Judge Jennifer Tine's bosses to remove her from the bench. Harrington's bid failed when the chief justice of the court system said he could find, quote, "no factual basis," unquote, to support the allegations, claims that range from, quote, "dangerous rulings," unquote, to, quote, "hostile treatment of victims and prosecutors," unquote, in the DA's office. Defense attorney and former prosecutor Robert Sullivan is also running. Read more about the story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Chloe Callahan reports in the Times Union that on March 10th, the maximum security downstate correctional facility in Dutchess County closes for good after more than 50 years. The Fishkill facility and five other prisons in New York all are closing on March 10th. The Downstate Correctional Facility is the largest of the closures, with a staff of 644 and 688 inmates. The prison could hold up to 1,221 inmates. Employees and prisoners have been transferred to other facilities, such as employee Tom Shirella, who was transferred to the Greenhaven Prison. Shirella said of his co-workers, and I quote, "It's a family. When people say you have to have each other's back, that's very true. You have to trust these people. You work with them day in and day out. Now we have to start a new family somewhere else," end quote. Over the last decade, over 20 other prison facilities have closed in New York. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, partly sunny with a high near 47 degrees. The National Weather Service has issued a hazardous weather outlook for a storm system that will affect the region late Friday night through Saturday evening. There will be rain and snow likely after 1 a.m. on Friday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And on Saturday, rain and snow becoming all snow after 11 a.m. with the temperature high near 35 degrees. And Saturday night, a slight chance of snow showers before 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 17 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, March 11th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC. The Friday version of the WGXC Morning Show features Melanie Trimble of the New York Civil Liberties Union speaking about the NYCYLU's legislative agenda for 2022. Then we'll hear the Global Go-Go Show with music from around the world at 10 a.m., the Sugar Shack Jukebox with Jared Wiggishid live in Hudson in the WGXC studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street with rock, pop, psych rock, soul, reggae, hip-hop, and more. At 4 p.m., tune in the folks from the Flying Deer Nature Center in East Chatham. They've got a new program for trans, non-binary, and genderqueer youth ages 11 through 16 that we'll hear about. Then at 6 p.m., we'll hear from youth in Catskill on Main Street in Catskill at Clubhouse Radio. They'll be on playing their music and telling their stories until 7 p.m. when youth in Hudson tell us what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show with the Hudson Area Library. And then DJ Var is live from Hudson at 10 p.m. with the Friday Night Vibe session on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. All together now, all together now, all together now, all together now, all together
now, all together now, all together now. To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Jacob Leisler Institute for the Study of Early New York History is giving out a $500 scholarship in memory of Ruth Pawanka, an influential and well-known local historian. The award will go to a student locally looking to further their education in history. The scholarship is available to college-bound seniors graduating from a Columbia County school, and applications are due by May 1st. For more information and application guidelines, you can contact the Leisler Institute at info@jacobleiserinstitute.org. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for a link to this scholarship award information and listings of all sorts of other local community events.
Hey there, I'm Brendan Donegan. You might know me as the host of the Playing Favorites show on Monday mornings, but I'll bet you didn't know that not only am I a volunteer show host, but I'm also a sustaining monthly supporter of the station. First, because I really believe in WGXC's mission to provide creative community radio to the Twin Counties, whether that's local news and opinion or providing a rich variety of music and arts programming. Second, because in my nearly 4 years at the station, I've been impressed by the intelligent way WGXC's financial resources are invested in improving services to our listeners. For instance, we've just reduced our carbon footprint by converting to solar energy to heat and cool our transmitter in Acre, and we will soon increase our tech footprint by offering an Android version of the WGXC app. But to continue to improve, we need your help. That's why I'm asking you to show you value WGXC and join me in becoming a monthly sustaining contributor. Here's a fascinating fact. Pledging $20 per month works out to a contribution of less than 20 cents a day. So visit our website at wgxc.org/donate, and it's tax deductible. Thanks, and I'll see you on the radio on Monday mornings.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, March 11th. Early this morning, we see 27 degrees in West Athens and 31 in Chichester. Today, spring-like. Tomorrow, not so much. Cloud cover will build as the day progresses. A high of 51 is expected at 3 p.m. And then all hope is lost. Overnight, temperatures fall to 37 degrees by midnight, which is when the rain will start. It will then change to snow near dawn. It will keep falling all day. Winds will get very gusty in the afternoon, adding an extra layer of danger. By dark, over 3 inches should be on the ground, and temperatures should have fallen to 24 degrees. Snow tapers off by 11 p.m., but the winds continue to blow it around all night. A low of 19 happens just before dawn on Sunday, which will be dry with a windy morning and a high of 35. Monday, things warm back up, hitting us with a dry day and a high of 51 degrees. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:31 a.m., high tide at 9:21 a.m., low tide again at 4:40 p.m., then high tide again at 10:13 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 35 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:42 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:11 a.m. Looking way up, we see a full halo coronal mass ejection has been released, and it's coming right for us. Due to arrive on Monday with G2 class magnetic storms expected. Solar wind speed is currently 402 kilometers per second at 9.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible. And they're not looking to get much better this weekend. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 90. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who asks that you help us keep the lights on over at WGXE. Your contribution helps our community connect to itself, so please head on over to WGXE.org, click on Donate, become a sustaining supporter, and my personal hero today.
Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
So keep your seats, watch the carny feed the geek. Bite it off, scarf it down, makes me sick if I stick around. How'd you like to be that meat, bleeding for pennies in the dirt on your knees? A radio's a roll, a radio's a roll. pick up the phone. You're always alone. Keep ringing, keep singing. There's nobody home. Gin liquor shots from a cockroach ride. Rub up some filth and I think I'm alive. Pick a card from the deck and pretend to believe. They can swim in the jar and be just like me. This life sucks twice. It looks real good, but it stinks on ice. Real ripe escargot. Under the table where it doesn't show. Down in the basement where the kids won't go. Not on the mark, you know the smell. With a world like this, who needs the hell? Do not try to be discreet. Drop the pamphlets in the street. Dream like a banshee, laugh like a loon. Ran down the alley, spit at the moon. Quarter of them behind me can't make me drop. I quit this jump and I'm a flat dead frog. Touch me, dad, I'll stick you cop. Kill my dog, I'll waste you pop. My radio's wrong. The radio's wrong. Pick up a tone, light up a cone. There's a wingtip above us, we ain't alone. Look past the cage and I hate what I see. Maggot in the mirror just drools back at me. Condi says temporary, stick around for a week. Suck on this powder, we get us a geek. Do not try to be discreet. Got my eyes on the carnage feet. Kick down the star, spit on the wall. The head off a bullet, jump over the wall. Again, but he's a dead pigeon. He won't come again, but I can kill him again. He's dead. Listen, kid, you got anything figured out so close? What sense is it all, man? What's the shoe we put us in this goddamn stinking slaughterhouse of a world? Some guy that likes to tear the wings off flies. We're just sitting there and living and starving and fighting the next guy for a full belly at the nut house and the biggest loonies are at the top. Reaching out into nothing and no end to it. Rotten, stinking, useless life we get jerked into and jerked out of. It's nothing but a... We come like a breath of wind over the fields of mortar. We go like a lamp flame caught by a blast from a darkened window. In between the journey from table to table, bottle to bottle. Suck, swallow, look, trying to match life into us like an amoeba. Somebody lets us loose like a toad out of a matchbox. And we jump and jump and jump and the guy's always behind us. And when he gets tired, he stomps us to death. And I got squirt out on each side of his boot. All merciful providence, you son of a bitch. Look at the marks.
Where did he come from? God only knows. He was found on an uninhabited island 500 miles off the coast of Florida. My friends, in this enclosure, you will see one of the unexplained mysteries of the universe. Is he man or is he beast? You will see him living in his natural habitat among the most venomous reptiles that the world provides. Why he fondles those serpents as a mother would fondle her babes. He neither eats nor drinks, but lives entirely on the atmosphere. And we're going to feed him one more time. There will be a slight additional charge for his attraction, but it's not a dollar, it's not a quarter, it's a cold ten dime. 10 pennies, 2 nickels, the tenth part of a dollar. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
That was Car Radio Jerome from Fred Lane, also known as the Reverend Fred Lane, who released 2 relatively obscure albums from the 1970s, re-released later in the 1980s on the Shimmy Disc label. You have tuned into WGXC 90.7 FM during our Spring Pledge Drive. It's our renewable, sustainable pledge drive, and we're trying to make WGXC a sustainable part of the Hudson Valley media ecosystem. That's right. We want to keep WGXC on the air, keep people having a place where they can talk about local issues, where they can do their own radio show, where they can learn valuable media skills, where they can tune in local town meetings, where they can tune in local performances, where they can hear about new music from local programmers from local musicians and from sound artists around the world. That's WGXC 90.7 FM. And in our efforts to be renewable, we're asking you to sign up as a sustaining supporter at WGXC 90.7 FM. Go to wgxc.org/donate. And for just 17 cents a day, $5 a month, you can become a sustaining supporter and make sure WGXC stays on the air. And we've got stuff to give back to you, too. We're going solar. The solar panels are now on the roof at Wave Farm, and the switch is about to be turned on, making WGXC a solar-powered radio station. And then next week, we've got something else for you. WGXC's app has been available in the App Store just to Mac and Apple users so far. But the Android version of the WGXC app will be available beginning next week sometime. And this app lets you broadcast your own radio shows. It lets you listen, of course, to all kinds of WGXC programs. You can listen live to WGXC through the app. You can listen to all the archived programs and archived information at the WGXC app that's available for free in the App Store. But there's also a transmit button that lets you become a broadcaster. You can do your own monologues. You can do your own podcasts. We'll set it up so people can subscribe to your transmissions. You can broadcast local town meetings yourself. You can broadcast local lectures. You can broadcast local performances. Just get the permission of those that you're transmitting. But the WGXC app is a tool for you. And it is right now free in for Apple users and will be free for Android users beginning next week. So while we're asking for something from you, we're also trying to give you back something as WGXC turns solar and helps to improve the local environment a little bit, at least doing our part. And we're also doing our part with the media landscape and letting you have free access to a local app with all sorts of information and entertainment that you can use however you want to use it and become the program director at WGXC with the WGXC app that's available for free in the App Store for Apple users and starting next week for Android users too. So if you like all this, you like all the different community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM, teenagers talking about what books they have been reading, senior citizens talking about their issues and everything in between, music from around the world and music that you've forgotten about, music you've never heard before, things that don't even sound like music, you'll hear on WGXC 90.7 FM with passionate group of programmers who care so much about what they're doing, the songs they're giving you, the entertainment they're trying to provide, a way to brighten up your life. And if you can make this a sustainable part of the local community, please do. If you can go to wgxc.org/donate today, or go to wgxc.org and hit the donate button, become a sustaining supporter, or just donate any a little amount that you can. You can also go to the merch store and get, we've got these great new sweatshirt hoodies and ball caps and all and regular t-shirts and all with new design from Mayuka Fujina. We also have all kinds of bumper stickers and more and coffee mugs. If you want to make a donation and get something back that's physical and tangible, you can do that too at WGXC.org. There's all sorts of things you can find there, all the local news in the WGXC newsroom, all sorts of things in the audio archives and more at WGXC.org. Please consider making a donation today during our sustainable pledge drive. Again, go to WGXC.org/donate. You can also call 518-697-7400 and make a donation today to keep your radio station on tomorrow. Here's a 2022 new music track that I'm not quite sure what to make of. It's Jack White from the White Stripes and Q-Tip from a Tribe Called Quest collaborating on Heidi Ho.
said, Jack, ain't you glad you dumped my jive?
Have some of this hidey hidey ho with me. Have some nicotine, it's a scream and it's free. Have it in your food, you can have it with your tea. As you're thinking and you're pondering and wonder what it be. Hidey hidey ho is a Callaway vibe. Well, you're hip and you're clean and you ain't taking no jive. Speaking of jive, I think I was on a label that was a long time ago. That was a fable. Hidey hidey ho, when you're looking in your mirror, when you're fit and legit and it can't get any clearer. You're the weave, you're the rave, the unanimous conclusion. Carrying the bag like Stevie Wonder with contusions. This is guitar Chuck coming for Chuck Berry. Hidey high tones from Minnie Ripper, Mariah Carey. Elijah White Blokes moves, Brianna indeed. Everybody gotta identify find yours and succeed.
Have some of this hidey hidey ho with me. Have some of this hidey hidey ho with me. Have some of this hidey hidey ho with me.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
And I have no question the eyes of the world are on this war and what Russia has done in terms of this aggression and these atrocities. I have no doubt.
In a Europe meeting with NATO allies, Vice President Kamala Harris joined calls for a war crimes investigation of Russia over the Ukraine invasion. Harris met with Poland's president after the White House rejected a Warsaw proposal to transfer Soviet-made fighter jets to a U.S. base in Germany to assist Ukraine. The Pentagon said it could escalate the war, but Senator Mitt Romney and other Republicans urged Biden to reverse course.
I believe there's a sentiment that we're fearful about what Putin might do and what he might consider as an escalation. It's time for him to be fearful of what we might do.
Russia has requested a U.N. Security Council meeting to debate its allegation the U.S. spent millions on biological laboratories in Ukraine. The Pentagon dismissed the claims. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer hopes the chamber can reach a deal to avoid a government shutdown at midnight. The House approved a stopgap spending bill to keep the lights on through March 15th and give the Senate more time to mull a larger spending bill. Inflation grew worse in February, with the Consumer Price Index up almost 8% over the past 12 months, a 40-year high. And with record-high gas prices expected to go higher, Senate Democrats introduced the Big Oil Windfall Profits Tax to tax fuel company profits. Republicans advocate ramping up production to ease prices. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren counters it would not lead to energy independence.
If we had been serious about moving off fossil fuels 25 years ago, 20 years ago, how can I do this, 10 years ago, then Russia wouldn't have the power it has today. This is what the whole Russian economy is built on.
Several legislators are considering proposals to reduce state gas taxes. Others want to pause on federal gas taxes. More than 200 people charged in connection with the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol have pleaded guilty. Six have been sentenced to prison terms of 41 to 63 months. President Biden is facing growing pressure from his own party to end Title 42, a rule allowing the expulsion of newly arrived migrants to prevent the spread of COVID-19. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez argues people with valid refuge claims are being turned away.
Title 42 is being used in a way that I think is indiscriminate and that violates the basic essence of our law.
More than 1 million migrants have been expelled under the Trump-era rule. And the CDC is extending requirements for travelers to wear masks on airplanes, trains, and in transit hubs through April 18th. The mandate has resulted in a spike in unruly passenger incidents reported since January 2021. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is 2022 new music from The Lumineers, their album Brightside. It was recorded with producer Simon Felice of the Felice Brothers, and one of the Lumineers apparently lives in Palinville. He recorded the Palinville Firehouse Siren that you can hear at the beginning of this song. It's called Remington. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We are joined again by Melanie Trimble from the New York Civil Liberties Union. She is the regional director for the NYCLU Capital Region Office. Melanie, welcome again to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks for having me.
In February, the NYCLU presented your 2022 state legislative agenda, and it includes several areas from protecting human rights in jails and prisons and investing in our communities and protecting immigrants in New York and safeguard our digital privacy, right up to stopping abusive police policies. These are not all of them, but I was just wondering here, Melanie, in the Capital Region, what's on your radar to focus on in 2022?
Well, first of all, is protecting the bail reforms. There's so much misinformation about what actually the bail reforms do and did, and that was years and years in the making. You know, you need to really explore the facts and not the fear of bail reform. So we're working very hard to protect our legislators and make sure that they stand firm and not allow any kind of revision of bail reform. We're also working a lot on New York for All, understanding that the Rensselaer County facility is the only one that has the 287G agreement. And so locally, we're working a lot on New York for All, which would disentangle local law enforcement from involvement with ICE and make sure the communities feel safe instead of threatened by any kind of action on the part of immigration. And then also Daniel's Law, which generated out of an incident in Rochester, would compel the state law enforcement agencies and local municipalities to call on mental health professionals when a criminal justice situation warrants it. We need to make sure that our interaction with people that are mentally ill are taken care of in the right and proper way, as opposed to just allowing law enforcement to control the situation.
Thank you. And recently, our new version of Troy City Council met and had one of its first public safety meetings in a very long time. And our chief of police was there, our chief of fire was there. And in the conversation with Chief DeWolf of the Troy Police Department, there was a conversation that took place around body camera and LRODs and different technologies that have been and are planned to be introduced into our police department practices. And I remember last we spoke after you wrote an op-ed on the LRod, the acoustic device or sound cannon. And I was wondering if we could just check back in about that. We don't yet have the LRod, but it is moving forward as if we are going to acquire this military grade device. Now, other places like New York City have policies on best practices when it comes to technologies. At this point, with the body cameras and with this movement toward acquiring an LRod, if you could sort of remind us or say where the NYCLU is at with following up on this purchase.
These are very dangerous weapons. I understand that the police chief explained it as, oh, just an amplified megaphone. Well, if they really need an amplified megaphone, go ahead and get a few. But the LRAD goes far beyond that. This is something to disrupt armies, not disrupt the public. So again, we would seriously caution Troy about completing this purchase. It is most likely very unnecessary and only a dangerous thing to have in the hands of the police. Secondly, we certainly would like to look at what their policy is, and the public ought to be exposed to that. So the police chief ought to be releasing what he is considering as the police procedures and policies when it comes to LRAD. In addition, he ought to do so with the body-worn camera policies. There are some policies out there that really do protect the interests of the public and dissemination to the public of what's gathered on body cameras, and is very specific about cameras ought to be turned on and when they ought not be used. So without that, I don't think the public will feel comfortable with the Troy police going around wearing the body cameras, not knowing what's happening with them. And so we hope to engage with the police department and work with them as they develop a policy that we think they ought to be much more transparent with the public about.
Great. In the last public safety meeting, Chief DeWolf was talking about how they have a contract to upload their body camera footage to a server. And Are police responsible in other cities for uploading their own footage, or does it automatically go there? Do you know any sort of best practices with, once you have this footage, how does it get sort of into the cloud database that these companies run for different departments?
Some body camera technology releases automatically the footage to the cloud. A lot of police departments are not comfortable with that. So they want the information to be downloaded to a server that is secure. And that makes it a little less transparent to the public. And then they can release as they wish. But that's why it's so important to look at the policies, because the public has a right to know in what way does the information get transferred. And also, most of the policies that we've seen that we feel are not necessarily adequate, but better than most, are the ones that actually speak directly to when the public, under what circumstances the public can have access to the footage. And police departments have to be very concerned about that, because when they withhold that information without a good reason that the public can understand, it makes people very angry, as we've seen in Saratoga, as we've seen in Schenectady. They need to really have a solid policy in place about when the public can access the information that's gathered with this technology.
Great. Thank you, Melanie Trimble, for that. The NYCLU had FOIA'd police records and then under 50A, and then you filed a lawsuit when you did not receive adequate information. I'm wondering where this lawsuit stands now and, you know, what police records you're getting. I know it's not just here in the Capital Region, but from around the state.
Yeah, this is a statewide effort and many police departments are involved. What we're trying to do is see what the limits of the courts will be as far as what departments will be required to turn over when requests are made about disciplinary actions against their police officers. Troy, specifically, the suit goes on. Information is trickling in. None of it is complete. Not all of it complies with the requests that we've made. So we will continue with the litigation and with the requests of records. It's important that the public knows about disciplinary actions, particularly, and one thing that's a sticking point in most of these cases are unfounded complaints. The public should have access to both founded and unfounded complaints, because the unfounded complaints are unfounded for many, many different reasons. It's not just because it's high security or there's a public safety concern. And so those records are very telling about how well a police department is dealing with complaints against their police officers and against internal police officer behavior. So we will continue that fight, and Troy hopefully will be compelled so that the public will have access and can actually look at how the police department has been handling complaints in the past, and then maybe in a few years have something to look at again to see how well they've managed if they receive criticism for the way they have not been doing a good job. But first of all, we need to find out, have they been even doing a job, good or bad? Let's see. And that's why we're requesting the information. It's very important that the public know where their departments are when they're disciplining their officers.
And you said the information is specifically related to Troy is starting to trickle in varying degrees. Will the NYCLU release a report, or how will your findings make it to the public?
We're setting up a portal for people to visit that will speak directly to what records we received, what they say, and what our analysis is. We're sort of still in the stages of setting it up because the information has, you know, some police departments have been very open and have provided everything we asked for. And, you know, we can work with that information in order to know how to set up a portal that's accessible, readable, understandable to the public. But other police departments have been very non-compliant with the FOIA request, and so it's difficult to know to what extent we're going to be able to offer to the public. And of course, we have to wait for the courts to decide what we can get. And then certainly even private citizens will be able to ask the police departments for information when they're concerned. You know, talk about small town departments that we didn't cover under the 50A. Once we see where the courts fall, you know, we encourage the public to ask for that kind of information from their local law enforcement agencies, there, of which there are many, 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 many in New York State. So
that interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Bring the light to those who need to hide their shadow.
Captain Beefheart there with Electricity.
The New York legislature will approve Governor Kathy Hochul's budget by April 1st. Environmental advocates are pushing for the fiscal plan to include policies that move buildings off fossil fuels. Hochul's budget includes $250 million for electrifying homes as part of a plan to get 2 million homes in the state electrified or electric ready by 2030. During a Wednesday news conference hosted by the Renewable Heat Now campaign, Lonnie Portis of Harlem-based group We Act for Environmental Justice said, "It's about addressing indoor air pollution that can lead to negative health outcomes for communities of color.
There's an opportunity to ensure that neighborhoods that are hit first and worst with air pollution and climate change see development that are all electric. And building electric also enables New York to meet its climate targets in a way that ensures everyone has a safe, warm, healthy home."
New York leads the nation in premature deaths resulting from air pollution caused by burning fossil fuels in buildings for heating, hot water, and cooking. The campaign is asking for $1 billion in the budget to fund all electric or electric-ready affordable housing. The campaign also supports the fossil-free heating tax credit and sales tax exemption, which would incentivize the move to geothermal heat pump systems. Oneida County resident Maggie Riley installed an air source heat pump in 2020. It's kept her home warm while reducing her carbon footprint.
We must pass the legislation that electrifies New York now. The urgency of this action can't be understated. If anybody wants to learn about these air source heat pumps, they totally work in cold climate, and we have cold climate here in Central New York.
The tax credit and exemption have been introduced in the Senate and Assembly. The coalition is also calling for the passage of the All-Electric Building Act, which requires new buildings to have all-electric space and water heating and appliances. It passed the Senate Housing Committee on Wednesday. I'm Emily Scott with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything. It's real.
Radio. Radio. Radio.
The Everything is Real radio program broadcasts here on WGXC 90.7 FM every second Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.